This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to this brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 115, The Transporter 2 from 2005. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Transporter 2?
It's been like, I don't know, a few years. When I watched it, I remembered every single thing that was happening on screen. So I would say, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I probably saw it on TV. I think I saw it like playing on TV one time, but I own the movie as well. So I've seen it numerous times.
Yeah, look, for me, this is the first time watch for me when it comes to the Transporter 2 and the entire series after. From here on in, it's all new to me, baby. So with that said, if you're new to the channel, you're watching us on YouTube or you're listening to us on the go, you know how we do it here. We're going to give you guys some box office numbers. We're going to give you guys some Rotten Tomato scores right into the meat and potatoes of the show, our movie scores of The Transporter 2. So with that said, let's get to some box office numbers with domestic. Here we go. You ready? $43 million, international $45 million for a worldwide release of $89 million on a budget of $32 million. Domestic opening of $16 million.
Not bad. Okay, not bad. It made money. Again, there are four of these movies. So none of them were losers, because if they were losers, there would not be four of them. You know what I mean? Maybe the last one was a loser. I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet. But it did pretty well. Did pretty well. This is not the franchise. This is not the worldwide mega blockbuster type franchise. So moderate success with moderate budgets. You know, it's under 40 million. What do you expect?
No, I agree with you. I mean, this is actually successful if you really look at it. So with that said, we've seen the box office numbers. Let's get to some Rotten Tomatoes. What do the critics and the audience have to say about Transporter 2?
All right. So the critics are pretty much close to the first movie. This has a 52%. Critics don't seem to like the Transporter. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They didn't love the first one. They don't really love this one. 52. Audiences, 58. So this one, not the most well-received movie that there's ever been, but, you know, both kind of lukewarm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but it's still, 52 is not that bad for critics, right? It's still 50-50.
And for this type of movie.
Yes, I mean, we've seen some movies that is like 40, 30, 20, 12, right? Yeah, just goes down. So with that, it's okay, but you know what? Here in this channel, we throw that shit out the window, and you're going to get our movie review. So with that said, lead character, Jason Statham as Frank Martin. Nate.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this review is going to go. I'm very excited about it. I'm just going to come right out and say it. Last week, I said Transporter 1, not my favorite Transporter. Transporter 2 is my favorite Transporter movie. So I don't know how this is going to go, but I love me some Transporter 2. So Frank Martin, Jason Statham, I'm going to give him the same score. He's still a character who's like, there's not enough there for me to give him a 5 personally. Like, I just can't. There's still, I give him a 4, by the way. I give him a 4. He still looks super cool. He's even, well, we'll save it for the action, but he looks just strong. You know, Diesel, we got some shirt off scenes. Looks great. Jason Statham, I've always liked him. He's super cool. I feel like he is the modern day equivalent. I always put him in the Jean-Claude Van Damme realm, because he's an action star who does like martial arts fighting. You know what I mean? Mixed with other stuff. You know, Schwarzenegger is guns. He's guns. Stallone, some hand-to-hand, some guns. Statham does some guns, but he's like a hand-to-hand artist type guy, which that's more in line with like a Van Damme. He just can speak English better, but he looks cool. He gets a little bit more to do in this movie because there are some human relationships that develop, you know, with the kid. You get a little bit, I would say he's a little, not that, I mean, he had a soft part in the first movie a little bit, you know, like with the cop and with the girl. Here, it's with the boy's mom, with the boy, and his cop friend comes to visit him, which, by the way, I don't know where else to put this. He's way less annoying in this movie than he was in the first movie, in my opinion. Like, it's more comedic relief, but it was like annoying in the first Transporter. He's not that annoying in this movie. But anyway, so they give him a little bit more of that, and they go a little bit more in the backstory of who he is. You know what I mean? With Keith David, when he comes in, he's like, this guy was this. He tells you specifically, like the first movie says he was in the military. This movie says what he did when he was in the military. You're like, oh, you don't want, he's like, you don't want this guy coming after you. He is a machine. And that adds to his lore a little bit. So still not enough to give him a 5, but I will give him a 4. I thought he was great.
Yeah, look, I agree with you across the board. I liked him. I did not give him a 5 in this movie. I gave him a 4, just same as last week. And I agree with you. A 4 across the board. Nothing new to the character. In terms of it's kind of the same character from the first movie. I didn't see nothing upgraded.
Consistent.
Yeah, it's a consistent storyline, consistent character, no development in terms of his storyline. So with that, I'll keep it the same and nice and short. I gave him a 4. You gave him a 4. Let's get to the main villain.
I gave him a 3. Now, I think he's way better than the villain in the first movie overall, because at least he is like presented as a credible threat, unlike the villain in the first movie, right? Unlike Vince from Fast and Furious. Like, that guy's kind of a cornball. And this movie, by the way, let's just put it out right now. This movie is cheese. This is like a really cheesy movie, all right? The first movie, I would say, has some accidental cheese. You know what I mean? This movie is not accidental. It's just got some cheese. And the villain is part of the reason. This reminds me of a villain from an 80s film. He's over the top. He's like, you know, he's like a, not a mercenary, but I guess, right? Because he's like hired by someone else to do this thing. And this is an 80s action movie plot, if you really think about it. Someone was doing a lot of cocaine when they came up with this. It's this driver who gets involved with this kidnapping scheme, which has to do with politicians, and then a virus that will like kill you and everyone around you, which, by the way, No Time to Die, this is like the same kind of freaking virus in No Time to Die, which just came out now. Stole it from the Transporter 2. If you're near them or they cough on you, you'll die. And then there's this purple antidote in a glass jar. Of course, it's only in a glass jar. And then like it's super over the top. The villain is okay. He does fight. You know, they set him up, you know, at the beginning when he's doing the fighting and he does the super Hadouken like flying uppercut. That's cheesy. But at least you're like, OK, well, when it comes down to it, he's going to fight Jason Statham at least. And they do. And he gets wrecked. But he tries. I give him a 3. I think he's over the top, but I think he's credible within this film. So a 3.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I give him a 3. It was a cartel that, you're right, that got hired to do this. Antidote switching
virus.
Yeah, it was just weird. His name is Gianni.
Gianni.
And he's played by Alessandro Gasmin.
Yeah. And he had that henchwoman, the girlfriend with the short hair.
Oh, let me just talk about skinny. Her quick. Let's get to this chick. All she wore was just a bikini, a bra,
underwear,
and panty.
Everywhere.
That's all she did. And she looked weird. I think her name was like Lola, some weird name. She was weird. Oh, man. I was like weird henchmen all over the place. You got the guy who played Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Jason Fleming. Yeah, good actor. He was in Kingsman. He's good.
So anyway, in terms of the bad guy, look, I gave him a 3. You gave him a 3. Action scenes.
Yeah, I don't like that girl either, bro. She licks Jason Statham's face and like licks his eye a little bit. And I'm like, ew, that's like gross. He looked like he didn't even like, he was like, I don't like this scene. It's pretty gross.
I could tell you were right because you were watching it and you could tell when she did it, he was just like, ew.
You couldn't just stop like, why are you licking my eyeball? It's weird.
That was like over the top method acting. Yeah,
she went for it, I guess. All right, action. It's a 5 for me. This is a 5. Now, don't get me wrong. There are, and I'll tell you why it's a 5. There are 2 moments in this movie. Okay, there are 3 moments in this movie that are so ridiculous that I don't love them. One, when they're in the parking garage and she shoots the helicopter with a little like Uzi and it blows up. The whole helicopter blows up. I'm like, that's stupid. But it made me laugh. Honestly, it made me laugh. Then there's the airplane scene at the end where they're falling in the airplane. Like, the inside the airplane stuff looks good when they're like rolling around and fighting, but the outside the airplane stuff, no good. The CGI, no good. It looks like a music video, like a rapper music video.
Britney Spears Toxic.
Yeah, it's like toxic. It's very bad. The exterior shots are bad, and then the interior shots are pretty good. Yeah. That's 2. And 3, and one of the most iconic, I think, even though it's stupid, it's one of the most iconic moments in the Transporter franchise is when he's driving the car with the bomb on it and he flips the car and the hook takes the bomb off the car and then the car keeps going and then he lands and then it blows up in the air, right? Okay, it's tremendously dumb, but it's like That's to me when, and you'll see, because you've never seen three or Refield. That's gonna, you're gonna remember that part. You mean like that part was pretty good compared to some other stuff I've seen. Now, with that being said, the actual, not those three scenes, I think the action's great. Statham's fighting in this movie, I liked him in the first movie. The fight with Shannon Briggs, who's a real life boxer, by the way, great, great fight. They turn off, there's no music, it's just sound effects and fighting. And Shannon Briggs screaming is the greatest screaming ever because he's humongous, but he screams like, ah, it's like this really high pitched scream when the boat is falling. Hilarious. The two fights at the end where he just goes full God mode in the house and he's fighting all the henchmen. The first one in the garage with a pole, it's legitimately great. The choreography is fantastic. And the second fight where they go inside and he uses the hose, again, the choreography, fantastic. I love those scenes. They still do the stupid thing in this movie with the bullets where you could see the bullet. Did you see what I was talking about now this time? Like, yeah, you could see the bullets going through the... I hate it. I still hate it. But I think this has every, this has a jet skis, cars, hand-to-hand, guns, bombs, airplanes, and it's fun. To me, as cheesy as it is, it's a lot of fun. I gave it a 5.
All right, let's get to smashing then. Look, I'm gonna be really honest with you. I gave the action a 4. I couldn't go with 5. And you know what? It smelled Fast and the Furious the minute I saw this crap. I'm not a big Fast and the Furious person. So when we tackle all 10 movies, or by the time we do it, it's gonna be like 13 of these damn movies. You're gonna see why. But in this movie, I cannot. The CGI killed me in this movie in terms of, for the action sequences, it just did not work for me. Actually, it didn't work for anybody. But it
didn't work for me either.
Yeah, it didn't work for anybody. It was straight cheese. I understand why you like it. And the same with my wife. My wife liked it. She was like, oh, and I was like, because you guys are Fast and the Furious lovers. So, this is straight cheese from that factory. So I was just like, oh, I'm not a big fan of that stuff. Like, I did not like the whole car flip into the bomb ticking out, because I was like, this is not even possible. Like, not even at all.
Not at all.
No, it's not. And for me, it's hard because, yes, I do rate movies and we do action movies. But for me, I like action movies that are like plausible, like the Bond movies. Yeah, he does crazy stuff, but it's plausible. He's a spy. Well, he has everything.
An invisible car.
Right. Well, yeah, but you know, it was
plausible.
Right, but
I get you.
A quartermaster made it, right? Like a scientist put it together, sure, and whatever. Yeah, yeah. Right? This dude is a normal dude, just straight up to hit a boat and then just jump. Like, the car went, like, I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. And then miraculously got the bomb off by the hook, right? And then landed perfect.
Yes.
I was like, okay, whatever. Right? The fight sequences with the holes, I was like, all right, it is what it is. And again, Jason Statham will do the fight scenes that are comfortable, right? That makes him shine. And I think he's very well in that in those scenes. The scenes with the pole, awesome. But then it starts to become repetitive of the same fight from the first movie. He did it with the oil. Now he threw paint in his arm when he's fighting the big guy. And then he puts his hand in coconuts and he's punching
coconut punches,
guy.
Bro.
Yeah, the coconut punches. Come on. So. Yeah. So I was like, all right, so he's hitting him with the Hawaiian punch. And I was like, all right. So, right, he's Hawaiian punch. No,
that's his finishing move, the Hawaiian punch. That's a good one. I wish I thought of that. The Hawaiian punch. Yeah, I like that. The very Hawaiian good
punch. But look,
yes,
those scenes are ridiculous as is. But again, I'm looking at those as martial arts films. Like when we saw Ip Man.
Yeah.
Right. Technical.
Yeah, all that kind of
right
stuff.
Yeah. It's very technical, but it's very cheese all over the place. So I was like, all right, that's cool. Everything around that, the fillers and everything, did not work for me. And I was like, it's going to knock some points down, because that fight in the plane was not good. It was not good. I mean, it was decent, whatever. But again, that CGI plane looked like a CW show. Right? Like, if
it's
you
like a music video, it for looked real. Like a, it looked like, bad.
Yeah, it looked bad. And then they crashed into, like, it didn't even look like a plausible crash into the water. Like, they went straight 100 miles per hour into the water and they soft landed. So I was like,
yeah.
Him using a Ferrari to get on the plane in the first did not even. and you talked about Commando when he threw himself off the plane. This dude got on the plane.
That was worse. He just landed on his on his butt in the water. He was fine. He just got up and walked away. See, this is the same thing. This is like Commando. This is like an 80s movie. It's so cheesy.
It is.
I agree with everything you're saying too.
And then the fight scene in the doctor's office. That was
the sound of when they push the air, when they push the elevator and the sound wave travels through the through the thing.
And I was like, man, sheetrock must be really thin for them to go through sheetrock like nothing. But look, look, it is what it is. I gave it a great. It was great action. Like I said, when once it gets physical fighting with Jason Statham, that's where the movie for me is good. All the gunfighting, again, you're right. He's not a gunfighter. He's more of a hand-to-hand guy. He's like Jet Li. When I see Jet Li with a gun, I'm like, why? He's good with the with his hand-to-hand. So there's certain guys that you go, okay, good with the bullets. Some guys are good with knives and hand-to-hand fist. So, yeah.
I do want to say one thing about Statham, too. He's very smooth as a fighter. And they know he's not as fast as, let's say, like a Jet Li, right? Like, he's known for his speed. There's a couple other guys. Tony Jaa. Tony Jaa is kind of a mix, but a little faster. Statham's not the fastest, but he's precise. He's very. If you watch his fight scenes, his movements are very precise, very clean. I like the way it looks, and they shoot him well. They know what they got. He's not gonna blow you away, but also he's more than competent. He looks cool when he's fighting, to be honest with you.
Well, like I said before, he's the modern Jean-Claude Van Damme for us. That's exactly what he is. Yeah, so, I mean, a better Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's a better actor than Van Damme.
That's what I mean,
yeah.
He's overall, I mean, we could do maybe even on a live, we could do a comparison between the two actors in terms of all that. That would be a fun breakdown. But with that said, five from you.
Five for me. Yeah, look, this is... You got to embrace the cheese sometimes. And it's funny because I don't always love cheesy movies, but every once in a while, one hits me.
Crap.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I love this. Now, I did see this in the theater. What you said, 05? This came out?
Yep.
I was a senior in high school. So, yeah, keep in mind. I saw this at 18. And I was like, hell yeah, this is great. So I do have some nostalgia for it. But even rewatching it, I just think it's fun. Now, it is not great. It's not great. Storyline. Okay. For the Transporter franchise, I like the storyline in this one better than the first one as well. When we talked about the first one, it's a little muddled, right? Like, it's like turns out to be about the like Chinese people getting imported in the boats. But before that, that kind of just comes out of nowhere, like halfway through the movie. Other than that, he's just this guy. He has these rules. He transports the package. You have this little plot with him and the Vince from Fast and Furious, and you think that's going to be the storyline. It turns out there's this other bigger storyline. This one is way more straightforward. And sure, there's a lot of movies like this, right? Like Ransom's about kidnapping and Man on Fire is about kidnapping. And there's a kidnapping, Commando. This movie's like Commando because there's kidnapping the kid. He's going to go save the kid. Now, the only difference is it's not his child, but still it's a child more like Man on Fire. It's a child he has an attachment to from driving. I think the kid is cute in this. Like, I like their dynamic. I like the little game they play in the car where it's very good, honestly. So I like the storyline, the basic storyline, right? He's doing a new job he's basically covering for a friend. He's a driver. He gets involved in this crazy conspiracy that he, you know, with the people, with the drugs and all this and the virus. And then he's like, well, he would have probably stayed out of it. But once they take the kid, now he's got to do for revenge, right? So is it the best storyline? No. Does it make for an entertaining movie, action movie? Yes. Has it been done before? Yes. But, you know, we got to grade what we got here. I'm going to give it a 4. I like it. I think it's entertaining. I was never bored. So, yeah. And the movie's only like 80-something minutes long, too. It's short, in and out, perfect.
All right. I know this is going to get hit. It's going to get hard, okay? It's going to get hit hard. I gave this a 2 and I cannot, this storyline was freaking weird, bro. It started
weird.
It is a weird movie, but in terms of storyline, it was very weird. I felt like it was 3 plots in this movie. If you really think about it, it felt like 3 movies jammed into 1 film, right? You got the beginning of the movie. I didn't know what the hell he was doing, but I was like, oh, okay. He's a driver now. So I was like, all right, cool. Then all of a sudden, there's a love scene. I mean, there's you could tell the wife likes him and hitting on him and whatever. You can see that they have a thing for each other. So I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. Then the kid gets kidnapped. So I was like, okay, typical, like you said.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, a virus comes out. And I said, when the hell did we get viruses built into this movie? Now we got the Chimera from freaking Mission Impossible 2, right?
So from Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw. That's another one, right? Yeah. The microvirus crap.
Yeah.
So
it's all these movies.
Yeah. So I'm like, now we got a virus involved in this stupid plot. So I was like, okay, here we go. I just felt like it was a mess of a story in terms of trying to get from point A to point B as entertaining. Yeah, we could do all the cheese all over the place. Yes, we could do all that. But I felt like in terms of a storyline, like I was already done by like 20 minutes into, like the minute they went to the doctor's office, I was already shut my brain off. I was like, this is done. I was like, I don't even care if the kid gets there alive, right? Like, for instance, they're about to open the door. The bomb machine is about to open the door because they think it's a bomb. And the wife goes, screw you, you never care. She runs past the SWAT team, which I was like, come on, lady. They would have held you back super quick.
She loves her. The power of love.
Oh, my God.
Can get past the SWAT team.
Yeah, I wish it blew up and I would have laughed. But I was like, you know what? That's to teach you a lesson of stupidity 101. But honestly, yeah. I felt like it was a lot of storylines into one, right? You had the French friend come in and I was like, why did you? You did not even need him in this movie. But they put him there for
because he's of the in first all one. Three of them, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, he is?
Oh, he's like a sidekick.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. But yeah. Oh, God.
But he cooks. He does the cooking.
He's cooking and he's like in French.
Police station.
Teach you how to cook. Oh, like.
He's smart. Honestly, he's like, I can get out of this if I just cook for this fat guy.
Yeah, I guess. I just was not entertained with this storyline. Yeah. Everything else was just hogwash, whatever. It is what it is. But I gave it a 2. I just couldn't. It's just so dumb.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Right on.
Overall.
Right on. I ain't going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue. This movie's stupid, but I like it. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Overall.
A 4. A 4 for me. I thoroughly enjoy Transporter 2. You know, it's just sometimes these movies, they come along and they just crawl their way into your brain. And you're like, I like this movie. You know what I mean? Like, I can't help it. I think it's entertaining. I laugh every single time I watch it. I laugh a lot. And sometimes intentional, sometimes maybe not. I don't know, but it cracks me up. Amber Valletta is super hot in this movie as the mom.
Oh, yeah.
The mom.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. I mean, she's always gorgeous in every movie she's in, but she's
I thought you were talking about gorgeous. The chick in the bra.
I don't like her. No, the liquor, the face liquor. No, I don't like her. No. I don't like the face liquor. No, Amber Valletta. I like Amber Valletta. She's great. Look, I like her. Matthew Modine as the annoying dad. I hate him in everything, and I hate him in this. He's always annoying. I hate him in Dark Knight Rises. I hate him in this movie. Perfect. Perfectly cast. It's over the top. It's cheesy. And I'm not always a great fan of that. I don't love all cheesy movies. You know, we've reviewed stuff here that is cheesy that you've liked and I hated. And this is like, I'm not saying you hated this, but this is like the reverse. This one worked for me, didn't work for you as much. It's a 4 for me. To me, this is an 80s movie that was made in 2005. It has those kind of vibes to it. It has this weird, like, so it's set in Miami and it's like got this weird sun-drenched Miami look to it. It's kind of annoying. I don't like the filter they use because everything looks sweaty. Like, you know, it just looks, everyone looks sweaty and everything looks orange. And like, I live in Florida. It's not orange everywhere. Like, we have other colors, but I see what they were going for. This is a French person interpretation of what Miami, Florida probably is. I love all those elements. It's a piece of crap. And I like it. So I give it a 4.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Doesn't Bad Boys do that in the third movie?
Bad Boys does it.
Do they, right?
In the second movie, too. It has this really Miami look. It's like, well, it's not always orange here, but I get it, I guess.
Yeah, I gave it a 2. Overall, a 2.
Well, I can't wait till you watch Transporter 3.
Yeah, look, And I got a fair share of cheesy movies that I like and I hate and all that. But honestly, this one I couldn't. I was there with my cheese whiz bowl and oozing the cheese into my crackers, eating it.
Didn't work for
you. The cheese was moist. I didn't like it. The cheese was not good in this one. The rotten cheese was coming out that TV. Yeah, I wasn't sold on it. Jason Statham was great in this movie. I think if they ironed the storyline a little bit better and actually took itself seriously. I liked the first one. honestly, I really like the first one. Yeah. I think if they did more of that style as part two with this kidnapping and gave it to me with that style of drama and whatever that first one was, felt like this one felt more over the top. I felt like it wasn't like the same writers didn't come back. That's what I felt like. I felt like it was like two like new people rewrote this movie. So I'm very afraid to see what director.
So Louis Leterrier directed this one. He was like a art supervisor or something on the first one. He directed The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. So he's done some other movies that are Clash of the Titans, Now You See Me. He went on to do some bigger movies than Transporter 2. Now, I know we're not there yet, but I can't wait for you to see Transporter 3 because to me, tonally, Transporter 3 is more like 1. Like this one is like 1 is serious, right? We could agree. Yeah, Transporter 1 serious, is not. Yeah. It's a serious movie. Like there's budget limitations, but it's serious. This one is not serious at all. This one is like ridiculous. The third one is more in tone like the first one, but you'll see what happens. It's just I don't know what happens. I don't know, but whatever. But anyway, overall for me is a 20 out of 25. Transporter 2 has always been my favorite Transporter movie. And if the only 4 remain, I think it will be my favorite until the end of time. Unless a Transporter 5 with Statham comes out and it's like amazing.
So your total points is a 20. Okay. All right. Yeah. My total point is a 15. Now, I'm not saying it's the worst movie I ever seen. It's a movie I know I'm never going to watch. And I'm going to be flat out honest. Like, I know I'm not going to watch it. It is not watchable crap for me. So,
sure.
But if it comes in a box set, I'll be happy with it. It is what it is. But if I could buy it separate, I already
just
know
buy part too. One.
Just buy part one. And, yeah. But I mean, I hope they do come out because I do like finishing sets. I'm not one of those but yeah, 2 did not work for me. I just couldn't. But the action sequences were great. It didn't remind me of It Man for some reason. When he held the stick, I felt like I was watching It Man all over again.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the same coordinators. Before. So I don't know if it's the same stunt coordinators.
The funny thing is that the fight coordinator of this movie was the director of the first movie. So Corey Ewan, he's a director, but also a fight choreographer. So they kept him on as fight choreographer. I wouldn't be surprised if he's worked on a lot of other martial arts movies. So,
I don't know. Yeah, it felt like we were watching the one that he's with the kid and he's with the stick and he's whooping all of them. I was like, okay. So, yeah. So that's pretty much it for the Transporter 2 review. I mean, look, it was a very entertaining. Like I said, I'd never seen the entire franchise from 2 all the way onto Refuel. So I'm really intrigued to see where 3 goes. I might like 3. You never know. I might like it.
You might. I never know, and you never know. We never know anything. I've only seen part 3 once, so this is almost like a first-time watch. It's been 13 years, so we'll see how it goes. But I do wish, now that Statham's older, that he'd make like a Transporter 4. Like, pretend Refueled isn't, you know, never happened. I would love to see him come back to the role, because it's really the role that put him on the map as far as an action star, you know? And he still looks great. He's still in great shape. You know what I mean? I'd like to see him return as the Transporter, but we'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's Transport 2. Next episode, you're going to hear us review our second in the Movies That No One Talks About series, which is going to be The Kingdom. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. And then next week, Transporter 3 by director, I think his last name is Megaton. It looks like Megatron. I always call him Oliver Megatron, but okay. I'm pretty sure there's no R. So Megaton, like a bomb? I don't know, whatever. He directed it. We're going to review it next week, and Alex is going to love it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we never know. I might love it. I might say, wow, this is better than 2, but not 1. But look, with that said, guys, and also our lives, we do Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern, we do Levels of Geeks Live, where we tackle a lot of discussion, movie-based discussions, and then we do some movie reviews live. We're going to do The Matrix, okay? We're going to do Matrix Resurrection, right? I think it's called Resurrection. Yeah, Resurrection.
Yeah,
we're going to be doing that on Monday the 27th. For those of you out there, that is the last show of the year. We're going to be doing Matrix Resurrection, and we're going to be tackling our best movies of 2021. So those are going to be the 2 topics of that last show of the year. So this is going to be fun. If you guys want to join, again, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Anything that we do on the social media, you can follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, all you have to do is go to youtube.com/levelsofgeeks. We have our podcast there, our video version of the podcast, and of course some lives. You can check out our lives, gaming, we do some live gaming also, and then some unboxing. Big on unboxing, a lot of statues, movies, all that stuff. And then, of course, if you want to follow Levels of Geeks, you can head over to Twitter at Levels of Geeks. Check us out there. And if you want to follow me, go to Instagram, AlexSpangler84. That is my personal Instagram. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.